It is a Bruins Thursday. That means Mike Milbury will join us at 9, and we will talk Bruins with Mike Milbury, and the suggestion being made by some that this team got better without Brad Marchand, and so we'll talk to Mike Milbury about
that.
Did
I miss something?
What do you mean?
They got better?
Well, that's what some are suggesting.
When they send their second-best points leader?
That is what some are suggesting.
Man, that's cap.
Is that cap?
All that is like, listen, we're in the moment. It's like when they fired Montgomery. It's like, oh, yeah, this team got better when they got rid of Montgomery.
All right, well, we'll talk to Mike Milbury about that coming up at 9. We will get to They Said It in just a little bit. 7:20, quick back and forth on what they said yesterday, including what Jaylen Brown said post-game last night about a less-than-playoff MVP-like performance. In the Twitch chat this morning, you can always watch this show on Twitch or on YouTube, a suggestion that Wiggy is full of it because Texter says Celtics missed 43 three-point attempts last night, 43 of them.
I know.
And Wiggy declares Joe Mazzulla to be the best coach in the NBA. He's a phony.
I just told you, my knock on Mazzulla is that he allows those guys to take that many threes. Like Tatum, when you look at SGA, SGA averages about 5 three-pointers a game. Tatum averages 10. I would say, Tatum, listen, I know you like to shoot from the three-point line, but I want you somewhere around 7. I would limit his three-point shots. But Mazzulla,
you think he can say that to Jason Tatum?
Not now, because Mazzulla has basically said.
Not now, when?
Well, you know why? Not now, because he has basically told his team that the way we win it, and granted, it is part of how they won a championship, is because they shoot the three ball. So it's almost like, even though it bothers me, it's how they were able to win a championship.
Don't you agree that it's not even Mazzulla? That's the analytics department. That it's not Mazzulla's decision. It's they believe that shooting threes is the most effective way.
Yeah.
Because you're going to get in the numbers crunched down to the fact that you'll end up with more points.
Yeah, I agree, Curtis.
They shot 63 of them last night.
But
it's obscene. 50. It's a horrible product when you just chuck it up threes. It's like, you know, Rex Chapman from half court.
But that they average 50, like they're averaging like 40, 50 three-pointers a game. And that's why the lead that I had a while ago was eliminate the three-point shot until the last 2 minutes of the first half. And if you want to say the final five or final four, what they do in the NBA the fourth quarter.
Then you can't take them at all.
No, they mean nothing through the first 2 minutes of the first half, and then they mean nothing until the final four minutes of the fourth quarter.
I mean, watching Celtic City, don't you get sentimental a little bit about the when the game was get the ball down low and power your way into the hoop
and the underhand free throws
and underhand free throws. Yeah. All right, we have leads left. Jackson, good morning.
Good morning, Greg. I have a robot lead for you. I know this is going to terrify you, but this is a robot that I can welcome. And I think Mitch has the video and the article up on Twitch. So it's a company in Norway called 1X, and they recently unveiled Neo Gamma. It's a robot butler that, like Rosie from the Jetsons, pretty much. It can vacuum, it can do laundry, it can pick up trash, it can do dishes, and it can actually serve tea. And the thing about it is they worked with a sewing company to make it look more human. They created a soft and smooth suit that conceals the robot's metallic body.
Oh, yeah.
This is a robot I can get behind. Something that does house chores. It's terrifying looking, but and kind of cool, too.
How much is that puppy?
I think it was like $9,000, but, a couple of years, it'll go down. Just
wow,
like
$9,000? That's it? I thought you were going to say like $90,000.
You want one?
No.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean...
See, once you let him into your house, we're done. As human society is done. If you can be asleep, and that thing, what's the name of that thing?
Neo Gamma.
Neo Gamma gets bothered by something and you're sound asleep and walks in with his robot claw and rips your jugular out, no thank you.
That is a possibility.
The creepy thing in the video is, like, after he's done with all his house chores, he goes in the other room and sits on the couch alone while all the couple's, like, eating dinner. It's creepy, but I would love that. A robot to do house chores. I hate vacuuming.
Well,
Curtis, you can get one of those little robot vacuum machines.
Yeah, but those never work right.
Mine works great.
Really?
Curtis, would you ever replace your current butler with a robot butler?
No, that's a great question. No. I love Francis too much.
All right. Thank you, Jackson.
You're welcome.
Curtis, good morning.
Good morning. So I, like many of the observers of the Patriots, have been heartened that they have spent money. The Milton Williams signing is the one that was a standalone outlier, second highest paid Patriot of all time, all good. But the Patriots this morning, on the first full day of the NFL league year, have done the bare minimum to be compliant with the collective bargaining agreement when it comes to spending over a 3 to 5 year span. Now is when we see what their intentions are with this organization going forward. Shime hit on it in his lead. With the availability of Cooper Kupp, the fact that he's available in the first place, to me, is a miss. Wait, Shime is correct. They should have just traded for him. But you cannot tell me that you're going to spend $30 million a year for Godwin and then sit back and say you'll just see what the draft presents to you now to fill your two biggest needs. What the organization has the ability to do is get a good to great receiver in Cooper Kupp, draft a couple guys, and take your left tackle at 4 and move on in that direction. Or acquire a tackle now and get a receiver early in the draft, however you see fit. But the one thing they can do today is trade for A.J. Brown. And that would instantly legitimize the organization and present them to be a playoff likely contender next year. So don't lose sight of the fact that, yes, they have spent, which is good. They deserve praise for doing that. But don't allow them to sit back today and say their job's done. It's really just started.
Okay.
Yeah.
Big day today when it comes to the New England Patriots and their future. And Curtis is right. And we will let you know here immediately should anything happen. And hopefully it does. Wiggy, good morning.
All right, good morning. So, Curtis, I like that lead. I would say that don't really get disparaged if they don't do anything, because this goes back to my other point where I see something big up their sleeve, because Curtis is right. If you're willing to give Chris Godwin $30 million, there's no way that you're going, all right, Cooper Kupp's our guy. There's got to be something, and that shoe might drop as we get closer to the draft, whether I heard Jones and Keith talking about this, whether it's a pick swap, where you swap your pick with the Eagles, they go from 32 to 4, and they give you A.J. Brown. So don't be – There's something more coming. So, Curtis, great lead. I just wanted to kind of piggyback off that.
Yep.
But my other lead real quick is, listen, the Celtics have 16 games left. Their next seven or eight are on the road. And they're against teams that are, you know, not really chasing a playoff spot other than, I believe, Memphis, who's in there. Maybe the Miami Heat, who's still chasing that stupid, play-in seed. But there's 16 games left. I know last night was a frustrating loss for us Celtics fans.
Yep.
I would say this, be patient. Don't worry. 16 games, get to the postseason, and that's when it'll be really time to see what the Celtics team's all about. And when they get there, I think they are going to be on a whole nother level. The obsession of repeating, I think, is going to be major for this team, and I think you're going to see a completely different team in the postseason when it comes to hawking up threes.
That team includes a healthy Porzingis?
I'm hoping. He was there last night. Like, so whatever illness he got, clearly it's not something that is contagious, because he was there last night. He was on the bench. So I don't know what it is, but I'm guessing, maybe they're just holding on to him until the postseason.
Okay.
Greg, can you confirm something for me?
Yes.
I know that WEI Afternoons was at Scores. I believe Ken was there. When Ken found out Porzingis was going to the Garden, did he immediately leave Boston?
I don't know if he's concerned about the viral stuff or
not. Oh, okay.
Yeah. As much as he used to be. All right, okay. Wiggy, thank you.
You got it, brother.
We now know who the four finalists are when it comes to the next owner of the Boston Celtics. You were talking about, Wiggy. So this report today comes from Sportico, and there are four groups that remain. The Friedkin Group, only one of these groups has any kind of local tie whatsoever. So the Friedkin Group, Philadelphia, a group headed by Philadelphia Phillies minority owner Stan Middleman, and a Symphony Technology Group. Their managing partner is William Chisholm. He's a mortgage, made his money running a mortgage company. And, of course, Steve Pagliuca, who is a minority owner of the Boston Celtics. So it looks like that the bidding when it comes to the price of the Boston Celtics may be close to $6 billion.
All right.
If they can get these four to go up, they're all around currently around $5.5 billion. And one of them will be chosen as the new owner of the Boston Celtics sooner than later. I don't know if there's, you know, no disrespect to the Coco Bomb, but Fenway Sports Group, not a part of this.
So it's a Chisholm guy.
Yeah.
Pagliuca.
Yep.
Realtor dude.
There's a California hedge fund guy that's in there, and the minority owner, Philadelphia Phillies minority owner, Stan Middleman.
So, wait, so no Bezos?
No Bezos.
Yeah.
Does it matter to what?
I don't want to be. I love Courtney. You know that. But yes, so yes. Did she have any of those?
I don't.
No.
I don't think so. I don't think so.
Can we all agree now if it said Sam Kennedy, it didn't mean Sam Kennedy?
No, it did not. It did not.
Like, he doesn't...
Yeah, that was a Coco Bomb.
Yeah.
Well,
lucky for her, she's on the airplane.
She's on the plane right now, yes. It's good for her. So
is that confirmed or is that just sourced?
this is confirmed.
Okay, good.
Does it matter to you? Like, are you rooting for Steve Pagliuca because he's somebody who's familiar with the team and a local guy?
No, not really.
Do you like the perspective of somebody coming in who hasn't been a part of it?
I don't care. For me personally, I think that whoever's going to purchase this team is buying it knowing that, okay, it's a great investment and they're going to do everything in their power to continue with Wick Grosbeck and that ownership group has created. So, I mean, yeah, if it's Pagliuca and those guys, great, because then it's a familiar face.
If it's one of the other money bag guys, carpetbagger from out of town,
got no issues with it.
You don't care about
that. Because
here's what I would like, Greg. I would like to have one of the out of town guys buy it, you know, use their cash, and then just say, Rob Hale, thank you for your investment. You're our point person like Wick was.
Yeah. Well, I think, I mean, Rob Hale kind of indicated that he would be a part of some of these groups. Did he not on the show?
He said he'd be willing to be a part if they wanted to ask him or whatever.
And I think they will because you need a lot of money to get the deal done.
Oh, yeah. And I like the real estate dude because maybe he's going to know, like, all right, we're going to need a new arena.
Yeah.
So he might come into it, you know, with a little bit of that type of knowledge.
I was told, I don't know how accurate this is, but when it comes to the purchase price of $5.5 billion, the NBA makes you come up with $5 billion of that liquid. Like you can on the financing side of things, you can only finance $500 million of it. So you have to be a group that has the Jeez. $5 billion available, which is wild.
That is
when
wild.
You think about it.
I thought it was only needed like the $500 million, and then we'll finance the $5 billion.
Can you use Bitcoin?
Probably. Wow. It's not like buying a boat, Wiggy. Like you can't put $10 down and then finance it for 100 years. Oof. It's the Boston Celtics. Well,
they're basically saying we need $5 billion.
All right, those are our leads this morning. We will get to They Said It next. A quick back and forth on what they said yesterday in sports. And with Courtney out, here is Shime with what is trending right now.
Your home of the Sox. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now, brought to you by Cape Cod Lumber. The Celtics fell to the Thunder last night, 118-112, in a game they attempted 63 three-pointers. They'll look to rebound tomorrow night in Miami against the Heat. Red Sox beat the Twins last night, 6-5. They have their spring breakout tonight at 7, which you can listen to right here on WEEI and across the Shaw's and Star Market. WEEI, Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's, perfecting the art of fresh. The Bruins are in Ottawa to take on the Senators tonight. Puck drop for that is at 7. In NFL news, Aaron Rodgers is officially a free agent. Seems like the Steelers and Giants are the top two contenders for his services. Cooper Kupp, also now a free agent, as the Rams released him yesterday. Greg's guy, Mac Jones, has a job again, signing a two-year, $7 million deal with the 49ers. Dietrich Wise and Jonathan Jones have both left the Patriots. They've signed deals with the Washington Commanders. And the
Mac Island is now out there with Alcatraz in the San Francisco area, correct?
That seems apropos.
Okay.
All by himself on Alcatraz Island.
Okay.
And Mac Jones is going to have many things he can bitch about, but his coaches cannot be one of them. He will have played for Bill Belichick, Josh McDaniels, and now the best offensive mind of this generation in Kyle Shanahan. If he sucks, he really sucks.
Yeah, but I think we all know he really sucks. What's quarterback?
Kyle Shanahan doesn't think so.
No, but what's their starting quarterback?
Purdy.
Purdy? Are they going to...
Purdy. Purdy.
Brock Purdy. Are they going to give him the $200 million contract? So you might, who knows, you might see Mac play out there.
Yeah, maybe.
They've also sold off a ton of parts, so maybe they're getting ready to lose this season in order to draft high next year. Who knows? And the Players' Championship at TPC Sawgrass starts today. First tee times are set for 7:40 this morning. Reigning champion Scottie Scheffler tees off at 1:29 this afternoon alongside Xander Schauffele and Rory McIlroy. Trending Now was brought to you by Cape Cod Lumber. It's never too early to start planning for your new deck and rail system from TimberTech. TimberTech is the number one premium advanced PVC and composite decking that captures the beauty of real wood. Visit CCL in Abington today to see a huge selection of TimberTech products. Or check us out online at cclco.com. That's what's trending. Here's Curtis with your weather.
Thank you, Shime. 34 degrees, cloudy in Boston, afternoon high in the mid-40s.
They said it next, and then Shime has the news in Courtney's absence at 7:45. And he is insisting on a nerd alert during the news. Nerds in the news. One of the all-time great... You are suggesting one of the all-time great nerdgasms caught on film? Is that
live on candid camera, baby.
Okay, all right. So
what
we'll
a tease.
We'll get to the news coming up at 7:45. It is a Bruins Thursday. Mike Milbury coming up at 9. Courtney with Flex Thursday, and Curtis is joining us from Florida remotely this morning.
I tell you what, man, you and boss man Ken Laird are getting soft. S-O-F-T.
What do you mean?
I mean, people working remotely, flex time out the wazoo. Shime, back me up on this one, brother.
Shime is flexing.
I'm literally not here on Monday.
Oh,
I can't
damn.
Back you up on that.
See my point?
Shime is, I'm not soft.
Yeah?
I have no options.
I don't want to hear no more from you. Ah, these millennials. What does Greg do? Millennials don't want to go to work. They want to work remotely. They get nothing done.
Uh-huh.
Wow.
Yeah.
You're getting soft, man.
I mean, I don't know.
I would just throw out there for the lovely audience, thank you for listening. When we discuss remote work, we're talking about years of not going into the office, of the absolute demise of parts of downtown Boston and other major American cities because nobody goes to work anymore. We're not talking about 5 remote shows out of 200.
But think about all those businesses in Southie.
I mean, it's just such an idiotic comparison.
Think about all those businesses in Southie who miss out because you're in Florida.
Right.
And,
well,
you know, I mean, that could be.
Think about all the businesses that are benefited down here.
Snacks for James, sandwiches, Courtney. I mean, you guys, man, I tell you, our leadership here. Wow.
Really?
I'm just saying. Was it like this at AAF?
No, it wasn't. No.
Did you just let people go willy-nilly?
We only had 2 weeks of vacation. I mean, it's really, the company instituted the unlimited flex time policy. Right. I have no say in that. So what am I supposed to say?
What's the name of the show?
I am kind of soft. Like, Courtney called me after the show yesterday, and she was like, are you mad? You're not mad that I'm taking vacation, are you? What am I supposed to say?
What's the name of the show?
I said, no, don't worry about it. What's the name?
Can somebody help me in Twitch? What's the name of the show?
It's the Greg Hill Show.
What are you supposed to do? Your name's on it.
My name is on it.
Did LB remote from Canada a lot?
Well, LB didn't show up. He only showed up one day a week.
All right, Shu. Was Shu a big remote guy?
There. He was always there. There was no such thing as remote work then, but I don't know. Yeah. It's a different...
Bullet was doing something for you in your apartment? Expressing something that he heard you discuss when he attacked your remote? Do you think that was at all?
He may have been.
Well, my mother did say, you know, before she passed away, she goes, I am getting soft in my old age. So maybe just the older you get.
I think that's what happens, is the older you get, the less you just give up, kind of.
You gave up.
Basically give up trying to hold people accountable.
Don't say that, Greg.
this is Kyle from Lowell. Hello, Kyle.
Hey, how's it going?
What's up?
I just want to talk about the Celtics. I would tell everybody to take a deep breath about getting all mad about the three balls.
Uh-huh.
I know sometimes it can look ugly, but when Joe Mazzulla got the team from Ime, I think they were 8th and 9th in the league offensive rating. They became 3rd under Joe Mazzulla 2023.
Uh-huh.
Last year they were number 1 when we won it all, and this year we're 3rd again.
Kyle.
They look ugly sometimes, but it's working.
Ugly. Kyle, they missed 43 three-point attempts last night. 43 of them.
Yeah, but
and do you think losing Marcus Smart helped that offense better, Kyle? Do you think Marcus Smart's absence was good for the offense?
How did we look against the Warriors when we didn't shoot a high volume number of threes in the finals? We looked terrible.
Oh, okay.
With the same two stars, Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum.
Right. Do you think Marcus Smart's absence helped the offense, Kyle?
We may lose one game, but in a 7-game series, Joe Mazzulla has a definite offensive ideology that if we get up a lot of threes with this team, we will win.
Okay.
He was proven right.
All right. Well, you have played the Thunder twice this mm-hmm. season, and you lost both of them.
Yeah.
So that's if you're going to – you know, use math analytics to look at a 7-game series, then you're going to lose 2 of those games.
Yeah, you'll lose 2 of the games. But the caller is right. Even though I hate it, that's what helped you win a championship.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that's what the kind of league transitioned to that with Golden State. Golden State kind of started this trend. And now the Celtics are like the new Golden State, where this is kind of how they've transitioned. And I'm not a fan of it all the time, but because of, like Curtis said, the analytics in it, all you need to do is make, you know, 1, 2, 3 stops defensively. You go down and you hit a couple three-pointers, and now the flow of the game is different.
All right. Well, Celtics lose last night. You can talk about that all day long here on Boston Sports Original WEEI.
It's time for
Larry Bird's not walking through that door, fans.
Would not say that I'm Mona Lisa Vito of the football world.
They
want you to cook the dinner. At least they ought to let you shop for some of the groceries.
Said it.
Wake up to Del Bambino and have me face him. Maybe I'll grill him in the eye.
They said it.
I'm just going to say it.
Time for a quick back and forth on what they said yesterday. Where should we begin this morning, Sean?
Well, Greg, since we're talking Celtics, let's begin with Jaylen Brown. He talked about his not-so-great performance last night, even though he's feeling better than he has the last couple weeks.
And tonight I felt better than I did over the last 2 weeks, to be honest. You know, I felt my knee was – I felt better than I have in a while. So I think I'm trending in the right direction. Just tonight, I had some open looks. They didn't go in. They were physical. I didn't meet the level of physicality like I can. I had no free throw attempts. You know, I could be more physical, make them call it or whatever. And then on defense, I couldn't get anything going on either side of the ball tonight. So it was just one of them games, you know, watch the film, look at, you know, give credit to OKC, though. They've been playing good basketball. They were physical tonight. They've been physical all season long. And, you know, they outplayed us tonight.
Didn't help when you fouled out with 3 minutes left on a dumb foul.
Yeah.
Because you were frustrated.
Yeah.
That didn't help.
But I'll take that, though. At least he knows, like, You know, like, listen, I mean, against the Lakers, he played well. At least he knows, like, what his role is. And I think if you watch that game last night, and it's great to be there because you get to see so many things, they were really, really trying to get him the ball in the paint because the guy that was defending and he was much bigger and stronger than. And granted, I know some of those trying to get to the free throw line, the referees didn't help. All three of those guys last night, referee-wise, were pathetic, my opinion. Gave Jason Tatum a stupid tech. So I'm not going to blame the refs, but I will cry about it a little bit. But I like that from Jaylen Brown.
Okay. What's next, Shime?
Well, Greg, one of the free agents you missed out on this year was Chris Godwin. He decided to stay in Tampa Bay. He spoke to NFL Network.
Can I just ask?
Yeah.
Are we accepting that it was – because he has not said it himself. Are we accepting that it was the New England Patriots that offered him $30 million a year?
All signs seem to indicate that that was the case.
That's what everybody's saying.
So when he is talking about why he didn't take that or whatever, it is why he is not a New England Patriot, right?
Correct. Okay, and this was him being asked how close he was to actually leaving Tampa Bay for that kind of generational money. Here is what Chris Godwin said.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, I feel like it was like we were like really close, I think. That when, you know, when it comes to a situation like that, like you have to really, really consider it. And me and Mariah, we had some really tough conversations, like with my agent, because like at the end of the day, right, we're trying to figure out like what's going to be best for our family. And again, like not everybody would make that decision. And like, I'm not faulting anybody that would. But I think at the end of the day, like I was mentioning in the presser, like I have to go based off of my gut. I have to go based off of my intuition and what I feel like is going to be best for us in the long run. And, you know, and being here where we call home, where we feel the most comfortable, where we can, you know, raise our newborn son. I think all of those things are big factors for us in, you know, in making this decision.
Tax-free Florida wins again.
Yeah.
Or maybe it's the happy hours or
the weather. I mean, there's a lot of things. Him and Mariah talk about it.
Roots there.
Him and Mariah go back like babies and pacifiers. Uh-huh. So, and I get like, you know, he probably looks at it where the Bucks are a playoff team. He's been there for a while. He won a championship with them. So I think he probably looks at it and goes, you know, we love it here. The weather's here. Tampa's a great place to live.
Yeah.
And you know, you got.
He loves Ybor City.
He loves Ybor City.
Godwin, though, Greg, like he's a guy that would have been perfect for the old school Patriots. Like a really smart receiver, always in the right place, phenomenal hands, clutch. Like Godwin is all great, but at this stage of his career, the Patriots, for $30 million a year, Godwin would not have been the bang for the buck.
Yeah,
the Patriots.
I'm glad he didn't take it because
you can't fault the Patriots though.
No, like, but I'm glad he didn't take it. I wouldn't pay him $30 million a year. I think he's a good receiver. Shime and I disagree on this one. Shime and I disagree. I wouldn't pay him $30 million a year.
You have to. See, this is what I'm telling you.
That's the market.
I would move on.
And you're just in a position where it's not like the old days where guys were desperate to play here because of Tom Brady, and Curtis will disagree, but because of Bill Belichick.
Splitsville.
But Greg, what I would do is see if I could trade a fourth round pick to Pittsburgh and pay George Pickens like $25 million a year.
Well, that's what you're left with is you're gonna have to try to shake the trees and get these guys, get somebody who's willing to part with what they have.
And that's why I think the A.J. Brown thing to me.
I know you keep saying that.
I know.
And you and Curtis keep saying it, and people keep texting in and saying.
It's not happening.
They are telling you that it's not happening. They're not trading him. So why do you keep saying
You don't think if they if there was a potential pick swap between the Philadelphia Eagles and the Patriots. Patriots said, here, we'll give you number four.
I don't know.
They don't want to trade A.J. Brown, Wiggy. Like, they'll keep him at all costs.
And they'll throw in another guy. I mean, and they'll throw in another draft pick. There's a chance.
They definitely wouldn't do that.
Why wouldn't they do it?
Do you think A.J. Brown would lose their number one receiver.
But he's really sometimes their third option. Their number one guy that they just restructured is Saquon Barkley. That's how they want to build their team. Run the ball, and then it's Davante Adams, A.J. Brown, depending on the game.
In the Twitch chat.
I would also add. Go ahead.
Just in the Twitch chat quick. Somebody says it's absolute insanity that you prefer Pickens over Godwin, by the way.
All day long.
Absolute insanity.
I would agree with that texter.
I mean, Pickens is 20.
Twitch chat.
Twitch chat. Pickens is what, 24 years old? He's explosive.
Pickens is a psycho.
Okay, guys, I need you to hear this thing. This is why Wiggy and I are on the same page on Godwin, and it's weird when we agree, but I love it. So when we discuss T. Higgins, or A.J. Brown, but he's already the one, but T. Higgins, when Ja'Marr Chase has been out, has performed as a legit number one receiver in the NFL. He's also been a guy that's subjugated his ego, which 99% of receivers don't do, when he's playing alongside a guy who's slightly better than him. You target a one with that amount of money. Godwin has never been a one. He's not a guy that takes the top off the defense. He is an effective slot receiver who's always going to be in the right place at the right time, but he will not massively change any offense he goes
to.
But
Curtis, if that's the market and that's the best receiver available, that's kind of what you have to do. If you need to.
No, you can trade your fourth and for a 32 and A.J. Brown. You give
Curtis,
them an offer
they can't
refuse.
Curtis, I'm not trading A.J. Brown.
So you thought that the Chiefs were going to trade Tyreek Hill?
No, I didn't. I didn't know that they were planning on it.
Anything's possible.
Okay, sure. Yeah, anything's possible. But with the information you have, A.J. Brown is currently not available. So what is your next best option?
George Pickens averages
not currently available.
No. But they just. I know he's not available. You, the guys that you're going to have to go after, you're going to have to trade for. When you look at George Pickens, he's 24 years old. 23 years old. He's averaged over 16 yards per reception in the NFL since he's gotten here. And when he, not last year, but the year before last, when he played in the 17 games, he averaged 18 yards per catch. His explosive play ability is 10 times greater than Chris Godwin, who had an ACL injury and is now coming off an ankle injury, who's 29 years old. So I would say, hey, Pittsburgh, you just signed DK Metcalf. We'll give you a third-round pick. Maybe you got to go a little bit high. We'll give you a third-round pick, and then guess what? You know what's not going to make George Pickens disgruntled? When you come here, we're going to pay you $25 million a year. You're going to be our number one receiver.
You worried about him when it comes to the locker room?
No, because he'll be in a place where he's playing with a good quarterback, and he's got a coach that will say, you're going to be our guy. If you see how they used him in Pittsburgh, they didn't use him the proper way, and that's what led to frustration.
Every receiver that leaves Mike Tomlin loses their mind.
Yeah.
All right. Okay, but I just would say this about why you have to do a risk like this, which is Pickens, his ceiling is far higher for what this offense could be than Godwin. And you take a risk by bringing in a guy that is disgruntled with his current team, and you hope that you're able to unlock that with Drake May and Josh McDaniels. If you bring in Godwin, his ceiling doesn't change anything. It really doesn't.
All right. Anything else, Shyam?
Yeah, we got one more for you here. The Players' Championship kicks off today, but one of the stories floating around the golf world is that Freddie Couples claims that Brooks Koepka wants to return to the PGA.
Brooksy!
Somebody finally actually asked Brooksy about it instead of just speculating about it, and here was his response.
Yeah, I mean, everybody seems to have their own opinion. No one asked me. I mean, I talked to Fred quite a bit. But we don't go too much into detail about what's going on. Like I've said it before, I'm not in those rooms. I've got a contract obligation out here to fulfill, and then we'll see what happens. But I don't know where I'm going, so I don't know how everybody else does. Right now, I'm just focused on how do I play better? How do I play better in the majors? How does this team win? And then we'll figure out, you know, next year and how to play better again. It's the same thing. So it's just a revolving cycle, but I've got nothing. Everybody else seems to know more than I do.
Well, that'll make Bryson DeChambeau happy if he's gone from LIV.
He is 100% coming back to the PGA Tour.
Yeah.
Why are they so like... And
they're pissed at guys who took the money and then now want to come back.
Right, but...
Because it's really just Rory.
Right, but
like Rory
golf...
Rory didn't take the money and he's pissed at anybody who took the money and wants to come back.
But isn't...
Like,
the isn't,
get over it.
Isn't PGA and golf, and I'm asking this because I don't know. Isn't it right. Like an individual sport where guys, they don't like...
You're basically contractors.
They don't have to go to other PGA players to allow them to play. Can't they just go to the PJ and say, I want to play? Why does that player have to?
They felt like when guys went to live,
right,
they were letting the PGA down, and that it was going to destroy everything that had been built. And so they're mad that those guys. In the case of Brooksy, I think he got $100 million to go. Am I right about that number?
Oh, he got way more than that, I think. It was more like $400 million,
I
think.
Yeah, so, I mean, they're pissed that they got that money, and now they want to come back. But, I mean, that's...
Of all the things we've seen, Greg, in sports is a duplicitous, disgusting, deceitful place at times. What they did when the LIV Tour was formed on the backs of the families of the victims of 9/11... is the standalone lowest point I have ever seen from a league, an organization, or anybody.
Really, Curtis?
Oh, my God. They were already in bed with the Saudis when they were saying these things. The video game company that produced the PGA game was owned and operated by the Saudi Investment Fund. And they're standing there saying, and these people that lost their loved ones, they don't know all those things, and they're going to talk about how they were hurt by it.
Yeah.
But the way that the league, the PGA did that with the commissioner and Jim Nantz was despicable. God, yeah. Was that disgusting.
All right, that is They Said It. Quick back and forth on what they said yesterday, and Courtney is off today. Scheim has the news next.
It's time for...
She's spoken at lunch with two popular hosts of WEI, two popular radio personalities.
The news.
She was spotted during trial at expensive restaurants, dining with lawyers, radio hosts, or social media influencers.
With your host, Courtney Cox.
Wiggy sold me a bill of rights.
Sponsored by Northeast Men's Health, with 5 locations throughout New England and at northeastmenshealth.com.
I've made an error.
On WEEI.
Reminder that you can leave a Hill note at any time for this show, and we will play the best ones back at 9:20 or 9:30 this morning. Any topic, whether I am, as Wiggy is suggesting, getting soft or not, Celtics loss last night, no movement when it comes to the Patriots on a legit wide receiver, whether Cooper Kupp or otherwise, any of those topics good for a Hill note, and you can just leave it on the Odyssey app. Courtney is off. Courtney's absence also certainly a topic for Hill notes. But right now, Scheim with today's news.
Thank you, Greg. We have another MBTA incident. 100 MBTA passengers evacuated in Boston after a trolley rolls back into another trolley.
I think we call this the MBTA incident of the day. There's one every single day.
Oh, we have to erase the whiteboard. Zero days without incident.
Yes.
The MBTA partially shut down service on the Green Line Wednesday night because a trolley rolled back into the trolley behind it at Park Street. Uh-huh. Approximately 100 passengers were told to get off the trolleys and walk through the tunnels to reach an exit.
Oof. No, somebody didn't set the emergency brake, or how does that puppy work?
Usually you got to put on that parking brake.
All right.
The MBTA is looking at possible human factors in the investigation. We can hear reaction from one T-Rider, Natasha Schweitzer, on WBZ.
Was on the Green Line, and then it stopped for a pretty long time, maybe like 10 to 15 minutes. So it took me a pretty long time to get here. I think they've improved a little bit recently. That's surprising to me to hear that they've been crashing more again.
Meanwhile, every single one of our elected officials in this state is doing everything they can to make relying on your personal vehicle impossible.
Mm-hmm.
So they want to discourage you.
Right.
Or as you said earlier, disparage you when it comes to using your vehicle because they want to force you to use public transportation. But public transportation never works.
Thanks.
So I have a question, Greg.
Yeah.
I know I'm an idiot. You and I are morons. We were wrong about everything except for we were right about everything. We don't need to go down that road.
Yes.
So if you were to put me in charge of a city and my number one goal was to reduce the cars on the road, the first thing and the only thing I would be focused on prior to enacting those policies would be to make public transportation effective, affordable, and efficient.
Yes. We have
Yet
spent...
our public transportation is the worst in the world.
The state has spent and continues to spend billions of dollars housing and feeding those who are our new neighbors. And that money should be used to make sure that you have a public transportation system that people can rely on,
right,
when it comes to getting to work.
Why don't we, like, you know, a lot of things you do, you say, okay, let's see where people do it right. I feel like I've never been there before.
Washington, D.C. does it right.
Right.
Everybody tells me that the Metro is the best public transportation
right.
system in the country. Now,
solid.
That's because people who work in government, federal government, mm-hmm. use it.
Right.
So they make sure that right. the money goes to it. And nobody here.
Can we go back to my idea, Greg?
Yeah,
the first idea I had on the show, which is all elected officials have to take public transportation.
Yeah, that would be great.
I don't know how they are in Europe, but I feel like from on watching social media, I see like
some
of the Asian countries have the best public transportation.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you send a few people over there, maybe talk to some of the people and see like, hey, how do you do it? And then do it here.
Yeah.
And because you're in a city where you think public transportation
right.
should be spot on.
Well, reset when it comes to the days without an incident. We are currently at 0 days without an incident. We will, Shine, we got to take a quick break. We'll get to the rest of the news next.